Let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth, so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the very word of iniquity. And the tongue is set among our members as that which defile the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. In chapter 3, he starts off and he just kind of shares an interesting statement that doesn't seem to go along with the rest of the passage, but there actually is a connection. And he says here, not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. And this is a real reality. As a teacher, as a minister, there is just a very simple understanding that there is a stricter judgment. The word actually is the word condemnation. And there is a way that as a minister or a teacher, and the teacher here is talking about a teacher of the law, of someone like something that I'm doing right here. And there seems to be this aspect that, yeah, there is a greater judgment that comes alongside of it, and should be as well. I think for a lay person, the way that I would address it in this way, as a lay person, you guys should be praying for your leaders and your pastors, because there is a greater scrutiny, not in ourselves, but from God. And that is just what's required. You know, I really dislike, one of the things I really disliked when I was in seminary was I would talk to people and kind of like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, what are you studying? And a few times you meet a few guys like, well, I couldn't get into any other grad school, so I'm here. You know, I just wanted to choke them, right? I mean, it's like, what the heck, man? But it's this idea, it's just such a flippant idea about ministry and these things. And, you know, they should have read James 3:1, make it very, very simple. In that same way, I did the same thing as well. After I got married, maybe it was before I got married, and I was helping out at a church, but, you know, I wasn't getting any salary, so I thought, oh, maybe I should become a teacher. And so I went to, because I used to work at the university, so I went to my friend who's in charge of the graduate program of education at Vanguard University, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about being a teacher. He's like, really? Great. And so he got me a scholarship, a partial scholarship, and he enrolled me in class. And I took the first summer class, like introductory to teaching, education. And so I went in, and I was really gung-ho and everything, but I wasn't there to be a teacher. I was there to make money. I was just very honest. And then there was this one session, and we're kind of, I think it was mid, something happened, and then people were going around, and why you want to go to teaching? And then one of the girls in the class said, you know what? I hate those guys that go into teaching, and they don't want to teach. They just want to make money. You know, and things I was like, oh. And so I actually quit. I mean, I finished out that semester, and I said, all right, sorry, Jeff, who's my friend. I'm not going to go into teaching. And, but it's, you know, so I can understand now the other side. But it's this aspect of, man, we got to be careful. And so now I know this doesn't relate to you because not many of you are teachers or pastors or whatnot. But what relates to you is you can pray for your leaders. You can pray for your pastors and your teachers. And you could pray that God would just really use them and God would protect them and all these different things. Because one thing that you don't see from the text, I'll explain to you, there is a weight that happens. You know, there is a responsibility. And I take that responsibility to heart. All the pastors at our church do as well. But you have to recognize there is that responsibility that's there. I remember years ago, I was on this tour, and I before I joined this team, I already had a prior commitment. I had to go to a wedding. It was my best friend was getting married, so I was one of the best men at the wedding, and so I had to leave for the weekend. And at this time, the tour kind of just started, so we went from D.C. to Baltimore. And now we're in New York, so I had to leave to California, attend the wedding, and come back to New York. And you know, and I had my right hand man, this young American kid, and when I came out of the airport and they picked me up, this guy, his name's Zach, he gave me the biggest bear hug. I mean, he just jumped on me, and I was like, "What's going on, man?" And he's like, "I'm so glad that you're back." And I said, "Why?" "Because I can't handle the stress. I can't handle the weight." And I tell you, after that time, he became like the best number two guy I've ever had in my life because he knows what it's like to be number one. And if you're a boss and if you, you know, even if you're a father or a mother and you have responsibility that other people depend on you, you know there's a weight that's there. And in ministry, same. There's a weight that's there. And so you can ask God to bless and to not necessarily to alleviate the weight, but to make ministry to be a joy. Remember in Hebrews that we read a little while back, and it says, obey your leaders, submit to them. And so the basic idea is so that their ministry could be a joy. And it's the same kind of concept. And that's something that you can do in that way. And then he talks about this aspect of the tongue. Wow. So appropriate. So meaningful. And his basic line is the tongue is dangerous. It's like this little, you know, thing can create so much damage in a person's life. If you ever done any inner healing or minister or counseled to someone or minister to people, you know, when we were little, when I was growing up in Chicago, there was this phrase that people would say, like if someone was making fun of you or all these things, do you remember when you were a little kid? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you remember that? Maybe you guys are too old or too young. Right? Back in the days, we used to say stuff like that. Now, people just shoot each other, so it's a different time. But back in the days, we used to say that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And then as an adult, you realize that's crap. You know, sticks and stones, they heal. It's a few scars, big deal, right? But words go deep in our lives. And I can even remember one of the first times that I think probably one of the first times I started having like, you know, inner healing issues, and I heard my dad say something about me, and man, it really hurt. And it was just expressing this disappointment. And, you know, I never heard that before. I must have been like in eighth grade. And I was like, wow. And it's still to this day, it still resonates in my mind. I'm healed and I'm free, but it's that memory is still there. And I feel like, oh, I mean, I know my dad loves me now. I mean, he did back then too. He just said something that was quite harmful, quite hurtful and things. And so we recognize, man, the words that are spoken to us, against us, especially by people that you love and you respect. If some knucklehead says something, who cares, right? I mean, if it does matter, then I think you have more deeper inner healing issues to deal with. But it's people that you love and they can say something, man, it makes a huge impact. And so what James is saying, he's saying, beware of your tongue. Beware of the power of our tongue. And he says it very beautifully. In it, there is the possibility for blessing and there's a possibility for cursing. That's a strong term, but that's what we have in our tongue. And the simple reality of what James is saying is no one can tame the tongue. No one can tame it. It's this weapon that could be used for good or it could be used for evil. And unfortunately, I mean, in interactions with people, yeah, a lot of it is in what people say. Or another way is in how people say it. And it creates this animosity. It creates all kinds of different things that happen. I mean, it's really amazing. And if you're an adult now, and so you understand this already, that you can have a conversation and you could say something to somebody and just really, really hurt them. I mean, just really strike a blow in their life. And, it's tough. I had a conversation this week over the phone, and I had to just tell this person, you know, kind of very honestly a few things, and didn't take it well. You know, I mean, didn't take it well. And I recognized, well, I could have said it maybe a little bit different, but I wanted to state a point and whatnot. And, you know, the other end of the conversation, oh, Pastor Sam, I'm so hurt. Oh, well, what can I do? Sorry. You know, but even the sorry or something doesn't really go as far as we would like it to go in people's lives. And so the warning is beware of our tongue. Beware of our speech. And just imagine that in your mouth, you have this little weapon inside your mouth, and you could bless or you can curse. Isn't that an incredible reality? We can, in one way, we can worship and glorify God, and the next word, we can curse man, who are made in the image of God. And so there's something that's there. And he continues the thought, and he says that in 11 and 12, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. And this is really in relation going back to what Jesus' words were when he said that, you know, good fruit come out from good trees and bad fruit don't come from bad trees. And so this is aspect of it's not necessarily like the tongue is all bad or thing. It's really dealing with what's in your heart, right? Because out of your heart flow life or death. And so he's making a connection. Our heart and our mouth, they're interconnected. If your heart is clean, your mouth will be clean. If your heart is dirty, your mouth will be dirty. It's just a natural working of life in a certain way. And so be careful of how we use our mouth. I mean, it's. I mean, just think even as a married couple with your parents, co-workers, you know, I mean, how many of us have been hurt by things that people said to us or the way that was said to us? Yeah, all of us, we experience this. And so let us not be the perpetrators of that hurt. And instead, let's use our mouths for healing and for love. You know, and the thing is, it's not easy. Right? I mean, James makes it very clear. It's not easy, but with God's help, we can do it. And then in 13 through 17, he talks about this wisdom. And he notes the wisdom, same is that he's talked about in chapter 1, but now he kind of expounds the thought a little bit more, and he talks about two different kinds of wisdom. There's an earthly, unspiritual, even he uses the word demonic, and there's wisdom that comes from above. And, I mean, we're old enough to understand that, yeah, there are two different types of wisdom. There's a wisdom, and I know, I mean, sometimes, I don't know why I like these kind of movies, but I really like the cat burglary movies, you know, where the guys are like geniuses, but they're robbing people. And I find myself in the movie cheering them on. They're a bunch of crooks and thieves. But just the way they're ripping people off is so genius. You know what I mean? You know, what is that Mark Wahlberg movie where they're in the Mini Coopers? I forgot the name of that movie, but man, what was it, TK? Oh, yeah, Italian Job. I mean, just genius, man. These guys, like, the street falls down, and you know what I mean? And you know, it's like all these little things, but it's so weird. I'm rooting for them. That's wisdom that is not from above. It's wisdom to rip people off. There's wisdom to, and people do this, there's wisdom that people have to make unscrupulous money. Do you know what I mean? You know, in our modern day, everyone's heard of Bernie Madoff. I mean, there was a kind of a wisdom there to just rip people off. And so he says that is unbiblical, that is unspiritual, that is natural, that is demonic. And there's that type of wisdom that's there. But James is telling us, you know, involve ourselves in the wisdom that comes from above, God's wisdom. And wisdom, I'll give you a really simple definition of wisdom. Wisdom is simply skill at living life. In a biblical concept, it's skill at living life. Wisdom doesn't necessarily look at the end. It's the means of how we go through this. And so there's a wisdom that has an end, which is destruction. There's a skill there, but it's being used demonically. And there's a wisdom that God gives to us as well. And it leads to life. There's an end, and it's life. And so he's making this distinction that make sure that the wisdom is from above. And this is how you can first tell if wisdom is from above. Verse 17 is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is wisdom from above. Wisdom from above brings shalom, brings peace, covers all different aspects. Wisdom that's not creates damage. I'll tell you, I'll just be really honest, okay? In my relationship with my wife, Lisa, I have a particular wisdom in arguing. I'll just be honest. I had my teachers told me to go to law school because I should be in the courtroom doing my stuff because I'm good at arguing. But I'll just give you a tip, okay? When you're married, the goal is not to win every argument, right? If the goal is to win every argument, you're in big trouble. My goal was to win every argument, and that's what I did. And then if my wife started getting the upper hand in the argument, very rare, but happened once in a while, okay? I got to be careful. She's in the front row. And so, but when this happening, you know what I would do? I'd bust out the Bible. And I would just, as a pastor, you know, that's why it's greater condemnation, right? I would use the scriptures, and I would just crucify her with the Bible. And then, what can you say to that, right? I know. Can you believe I'm your pastor? Crazy, huh? That was a long time ago, by the way. There is a wisdom that is actually not from God that we can use to win all kinds of arguments. I'm sure you've had arguments with people or debates with people, and they're like smart, they're bright, articulate, but just using it the wrong way, and you recognize that. It's like they just want to win or whatever the case may be. That's what's of the earth. That's demonic. in nature. And we recognize there is that kind of wisdom that abounds. I'm sure at your workplace, there's all kinds of people like that, that use this skill, but use it in a negative way. And the end result of it is discord. The end result of it is calamity. But the wisdom that God gives, the end result would be peace, would be love, fruitfulness. And so when we are operating out of our life, we should ask God for this type of wisdom in our life, wisdom that comes from above, wisdom that's not for selfish ambition or selfish gain, but wisdom that comes from the Lord. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. May I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in regard to our tongue? You don't have to think so far back or anything, but just think, ask God, Lord, have I hurt anybody with my speech? Have I offended somebody knowingly, unknowingly? God will remind you. Have I offended somebody with what I said or how I said it? And then if something comes to mind, I want you to ask God, Lord, give me an opportunity to bring a blessing. Give me an opportunity to whatever that is to reconcile, but give me opportunity, God, to make this into a blessing instead of a curse. Can I encourage you to go before the Lord and just talk to Him about that? Say, God, have I hurt anyone with something that I said? And then, Lord, help me to make it right. Help me to reconcile. But on top of that, help me to speak blessing and peace over that person's life. Let's pray together as we sing.
to save. Jesus, Jesus.
Let's pray this morning. I forgot to mention that one of the ways that our tongue is used so negatively is because we have anger. If you're a guy or a girl and you struggle with anger issues, ask God to help you. Ask God to resolve whatever it is in your heart that creates this anger outburst in our lives. I've seen so many relationships and marriages on the rocks being destroyed because people can't control their anger. Self-control. So let's ask God to come and just minister to us, and let's pray today, especially in relation to using our tongues for a blessing. Just pray to God. Say, God, use my mouth to be a blessing instead of a curse. Let's just go before the Lord and pray for ourselves in that way. Let's use our mouth to bless our friends that are ill, going through different diseases and whatnot. Let's just ask for God's hand of healing to come and comfort over all our friends here. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are ill. Let's bless them with our words and pray for God's healing word physically, but more important spiritually. Let's pray that they would meet Jesus. Let's pray for others in our community that are ill. Let's lift them up before the Lord. Ask God to heal them. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's ask God's hand to be with them and God open doors, provide opportunities, help them to use their time wisely right now as they draw closer to God. Let's lift them up. Let's go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for the most populous Muslim country in the world. Pray that God's Spirit would breathe upon this land. Let's pray for the Febin Ministries. Lift up Pastor Salamat and his family, their ministry. They continue to grow here and in their church plant in Meifu. Pray for Kupang, our missions location. Pray for the leaders at the churches there. Ask God to continue to move up upon this locale. And let's lift up Indonesia and Pastor Salamat. Let's pray for our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, the nursery, SP Youth, college ministry. Ask God to bless the pastors and the teachers and volunteers, and that all of our kids would grow strong, would grow mighty in God and His Word, and that they would be protected and loved by the family and also by the church as a whole. So let's lift up these ministries and the leaders. Let's spend some time. Let's pray for the families of SP, the moms, dads, you know, probably the most difficult job you could ever have in your life. And so let's pray for wisdom and courage to raise our kids in a godly fashion. Let's pray for the marriages at SP. You know, a few are on the rocks. And let's just really ask God to bring healing and reconciliation. And it's the power of covenant will just resound in their lives, and let there just be so much love between the couples, and let marriages here at SP be such a blessing. So let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today, Bel Air, MacDaddy, and Robinson Road House Church. I pray for the leaders, pray for their times together as they come together to pray, to worship, to discuss the Word of God, and to minister to each other. Let's pray for real anointing today as these three house churches come together. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our activities this weekend. Pray today there's a GIC class, there's an EG class, there's our services on Sunday, meetings throughout the day. Let's just ask God to just bless. And today actually is, I don't know if you know, one of our brothers, Steve, Steve G, he's getting married in Korea today as well. So some of our members went out there. And so let's pray for his wedding. It'd be a beautiful time of celebration of God's love for them. So let's bless Steve and the ceremony. And just cover this weekend before God and ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for Bernice. Let's pray for Rob to have a personal godly experience, showing how much he is loved by the Lord. Pray for God to surround him with strong Christian friends where he can confide, learn, and positively influence by them. And pray that God would humble her and equip her to truly love and serve Rob as Christ loves both of them. Let's pray for Bernice and Rob. Let's pray for Rachel. Let's pray for salvation of her family and grace and mercy upon their household. Pray for Cascade training and expansion, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, anointing as she leads. Pray to bring fruit of the Spirit and humility to workplace, opportunity to witness. And pray for her friend Constance to have a miracle and healing and be strong with hope and faith. Let's pray for Rachel and her family. Let's pray for Bonnie. Let's pray for salvation for her family, her parents, Eugene, Nicholas, and Grandma, and for reconciliation. Pray for Nicholas that God appoint a job for him, authentic Christian friends that will stick with him. Pray for her personal growth, deeper in daughtership, spiritual sensitivity, knowing grace, and have his heart for people and relationships, for a future husband, to be ready for one another, and a new and deeper friendships. Let's pray for Bonnie. Thank you, God. We bless you this morning. And we thank you for everything you've given to us, God, but also some of the things that we have received from you, God, namely our tongues, can be used in a good way or a bad way. Help us to always choose the path of blessing, God. Give us wisdom, Lord, to be a blessing to people around us with what we say and how we say it, Father. Thank you, God. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you haven't already sent in your prayer requests, please go online and do so. And we actually might do this continually throughout the year if there's requests that come in that you want the whole congregation to pray for, and so you want to do that. This Wednesday in the morning, we'll be breaking our fast, and so we'll have communion set up. So if you come on Wednesday, we'll have an abbreviated service, and we'll spend time in communion. And afterwards, in the back, we're going to provide congee for everyone. And so you can enjoy that time together. Amen. So enjoy the last 3 days of your fast. Hopefully it's going well. Right? And have a good prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow at service.